Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you guys. Rob will be back tomorrow. He had jury duty today. He actually didn't get on the jury. He had a chance to come in. I don't know all the particulars of the case. He sounded like he couldn't tell me in fear of his safety. But he was excused at around 11:30. So I'm thinking with the big, busy sports day, I'm assuming Rob's going to be here. So he called me on the phone to give me this information. I was like, so when are you coming in? And he said, well, then what is Nathan going to do? Go home is the answer. No, I can't do that. I mean, I can't do that. You know, I'm just going to stay here. Rob's trying to get out of work on a very busy day. But you know what, Nathan? You've done a fantastic job. To hell with Rob.
I appreciate you having me. And guess what? Of course, Rob's first day back tomorrow. It's going to be a short one because Vern takes the air at 5:30. He's not working the 2 to 6.
Not at all.
He called you at 11. He called me at 9:03 and said, I'm not on this jury. He said he went in there and said, I told him who I was and they let me off. No,
oh,
I'm kidding.
My goodness.
Kidding. He said he was going to play the don't you know who I am card to get off the jury. Apparently it worked. I hope his front nine has gone well and that he's enjoying a drink at the turn or something right now, CDOT. But, you know, he's not on his grind. It's okay.
No, it's 100%. Rob is at a happy hour somewhere right now having a drink. That's how this is going. All right, let's talk about Jack Caglione in the news. The Jack Caglione is now a member of the Kansas City Royals. He will make his major league debut tomorrow. Let's start here. There's a lot to talk about. Let's start with the overwhelming positive that this is. This is one of the most exciting things that can happen to your team. One player allows you the ability to dream very, very big. None of us know how Jack Caglione's journey is going to go. Jack Caglione might go on to be a Hall of Fame baseball player. It certainly wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. We're talking about a great college player who fast-tracked his way through the minors. It's not crazy that that guy goes on to have a very productive major league career. Think about some of the comparisons that have been thrown out for him. Pete Alonso, Giancarlo Stanton, Shohei Ohtani was one that was given. It was given by Jeff Passan on Pat McAfee's show. It was also given on this radio station 2 weeks ago. I'm not here telling you that Jack will be or won't be those things, but I want you to sit in the hype and the excitement of it. This is like when you get the first round top five pick quarterback. That quarterback might go on to be Josh Allen and win NFL MVP and take you to incredible heights. He also might be Jake Locker or Christian Ponder. That's kind of the excitement of the draft. That's kind of the excitement of opening up the pack of cards to see if you got the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card or the card that will have absolutely no value. This is getting the number one overall recruit. That recruit might go on to change your program's history, or he might be a guy who has a disappointing career. This is one of the most exciting moments that you can have as a sports fan. It's the discovery. It's the being in at the ground floor of what you expect to be an incredible journey with the player. So we talk about riding the roller coaster with the Royals or riding their roller coaster with the team and enjoying it. I want you to enjoy what is going to happen at Kauffman Stadium in a week. The Royals haven't had a lot of days like that. Let's remove the Bobby Witt Jr. day just because that was during opening day. So we're just talking about a very different debut. That's the first game of the season. There's its own pageantry that is built into the first game of the season. Jack Caglione's major league debut is going to be on a Tuesday night. I expect the weather is going to be amazing. It's going to be dollar hot dogs and the Yankees are in town and maybe the best player in baseball, Aaron Judge, will be on the field. It's going to be a special day out there at Kauffman Stadium and the opportunity to see a band opening for the first time. That band might go on to be the Rolling Stones. You may never hear from that band again, but you got a chance to see them at the very, very beginning. So I do think part one of this conversation is just the exploration of what this is going to be. This is the five-star recruit. This is the number two overall pick quarterback. You see what he could turn out to be. This is winning the NBA lottery, and you get a chance at having Cooper Flagg for your team. Maybe he goes on to be an amazing player. You just got to see how the rest of the story is going to unfold. All right, in a micro sense, let's look at the last 3 days for the Royals. Let's look at the last 2 weeks for Jack Caglione and the last 3 days for the Royals. Jack Caglione played 50 minor league games. 50 minor league games. He hit over 320, had a 390 on-base percentage, slugged somewhere around 800, and in 50 games, he hit 15 home runs and had 53 RBIs. He averaged an RBI a day. I think the Royals as an organization just came to the conclusion that he had leveled up past this stage. I call it the video game theory. A lot of you play video games, or you have, and you'll understand this analogy. You play a game and play a game, and the game becomes incredibly easy. You then can do one of two things. You can stop playing the game because you've got the fun out of the game, or you can increase the difficulty and find a new challenge in the game. I think that's what they just did to Jack Caglione. They had him playing on medium. Medium had gotten too easy. I win every time. I know how to exploit the defense and score every time I'm down the field. This game is boring to me. If he had gotten another 150 ABs in the minor leagues, the same thing that we had been seeing was going to continue. He was going to continue to hit 300. He was going to continue to mash AAA pitching. He was going to continue to drive in runs. Now, he was going to get very valuable experience in the field. But in terms of being an offensive prospect, I don't really think there was much else to worry about with Jack Caglione. He is a major league ready prospect. And I don't know if AAA pitching was going to get him ready for the degree of difficulty that is about to exist for him at this level. He has never seen pitching like this before. We can talk about what it's like to pitch against Arkansas in the College World Series or what it's like to play against the Wichita Wranglers. This is a completely different beast. You're going up against the New York Yankees coming up in a week. You're going up against the Athletics that have actually turned out to be a pretty decent team. You're making your major league debut in Busch Stadium against the Cardinals that kind of handled the Royals a couple of weeks ago when they were here. So the degree of difficulty is about to ratchet up as high as it can potentially be. How do you think he responds to that? And I think the Royals are obviously very curious to see if that's the case. So I think one side of it is, I think he simply forced their hand. Earlier today, Joe Goldberg was on the station and he said it. Jack Caglione had just gotten too good for minor league baseball.
There. Right, but you have to make that determination, and they did so in 2 weeks, yeah, which is much quicker than I think what they typically would do, mm-hmm, which, and I just know, you guys both know, that J.J. Piccolo, from J.J. through his staff and all the way up even to ownership with John Sherman and his group, they are not the panic button type. I think that a lot of fans would like for them to be the panic button type because fans are in the moment and they're emotional, and that's part of being a fan, and you don't care about what it might do, potentially negative or not, in the future. That's the GM's job to worry about all that kind of stuff. And for them to make this move, to me, has so much less about the offense right now and more about they saw what they needed to see in 2 weeks. Because you know what? If they felt like he needed more in the minor leagues, or that, hey, it's just a couple of weeks, they can wait another week or two if they needed to.
All right. A couple of things here. I agree with him in terms of he just simply leveled out at the AAA, AA level. I don't think there's really much to dispute that. If you look at the numbers and how he's performed over the last, you know, little bit, I don't think there's any question about that. Have you ever been around somebody who is like real twitchy and real, I don't know, skittish? And then you ask them, hey, you good? You nervous? No, man, I'm fine. Like, but you got all the energy of somebody who's nervous. Are you sure you're not? No, I'm good. If you're telling me that that's not the panic button for the Royals, I'd love to see what the panic button is, because the Royals have done everything that a team who is on the fly trying to fix their offense can do. Hunter Renfro was a problem. We all were pounding that drum every day for them to get rid of Hunter Renfro. They did so in the first 50 days of the season. We're done. We're calling you down, and we're going to eat an amount of money to do that. You then look at the guys that they called up. They bring up John Rave. They bring up Lofton. They bring up those moves. They then DFA Biggio. In the last 10 days, everything they have done has been trying to kind of move the pieces that they do have around the board to try to supplement their offense that's really struggling right now. There was one more chip to play. They still had the big joker in their hand, which was Jack Caglione being called up, and then they call him up directly after a weekend in which they scored one run in two games and at least squandered one pitching performance and came real close to squandering the other one. So if that's not the panic button, I don't know what it is. I don't think it's a bad thing that they pressed the panic button. This is it. There are no more moves. This is the team. The only move that's potentially left for the Royals is Michael Massey. And I'm sorry, getting rid of Michael Massey is not solving all the problems that the Royals have on offense. They have far bigger problems than Michael Massey. So this is it. The lineup that they put out there tomorrow after this off day, it will likely be the best lineup that they can have up until the trade deadline. Now, let's see what that means for the Royals. Are they going to trade Michael Lorenzen? Are they going to trade Seth Lugo? Are they going to trade somebody in the minors, put a little bit of cash to go get you another potential bat? I mean, we know the possible moves that they could make, but those moves are not coming anytime soon. They are going to run with this lineup, this group, at least for the next 5 weeks. They are not making a move prior to the 4th of July, probably prior to the All-Star break. Now, after the All-Star break, you kind of reassess some things. You get a chance to see what you like and what you don't like and get ready for the trade deadline. But there are no more moves. So again, if you're telling me this isn't the Royals pressing the panic button, I would love to see what pressing the panic button is, because they have sent down MJ Melendez. They got rid of Hunter Renfro. They got rid of Biggio. They brought up Jack Caglione. They brought up John Rave. They have constantly been trying to fix this offense, and to this point, nothing has worked. There was only one more move left to try to jumpstart this offense. The only thing left that can possibly jumpstart this offense is their own players performing better. It's Salvador Perez being better. It's Vinny Pasquantino being better. It's Bobby Witt Jr. turning back into the second best hitter in the American League. Those are the only things left that you think can potentially save this offense from itself that has really, really struggled over its last 90 to 100 games if you're going back to last season.
If you're not part of this core and you're not producing, the Royals are moving on from you. And that we saw it with Chris Stratton as well. We see it in the pitching rotation. It's not just limited to the offense. If you're not part of this six or seven group person group that is viewed as the core, and you're not doing well, they're moving on from you. I think the only thing left, like you mentioned, is Michael Massey. And every time you hear JJ or Q speak, they think of him as part of the core. I think they're coming to terms with the fact that he might need a demotion, and maybe you will see a Cam Devaney brought up and a Michael Massey sent down. That's it. And when those moves do come, when those trades do come, they're not going to be someone that's going to step into your lineup and hit third. Those guys aren't available. Those guys are playing on winning teams. The teams that are bad because they don't have those guys playing for them. So I think you're going to hear calls for the hitting coach in a few weeks if this team doesn't turn it around. But I'm with you in that it is Vinny, Salvi, India turning it around. That is the fix for this offense that's left.
So we still got a lot to get into in today's show. If you missed it, we'll play some cuts from J.J. Cooper. We had Cody Tapp join us on the show earlier today. Denny was on the show. Joel Goldberg was on the station earlier today. If you missed any of them, be sure to check out the podcast page, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Nathan, hit the button, do the read, and we'll get to the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Well, Carrington, hit number one, we've been talking about it all day, is Jack Caglione has been promoted to the major leagues and will debut in St. Louis tomorrow night for the Kansas City Royals.
So let's play this J.J. Cooper cut for you guys. And we asked him what is going to challenge Jack Caglione in the majors. He has made a very, very quick ascension to the majors. We told you guys earlier, he has played exactly 50 games in the minor leagues. He is now coming up to play in the majors. We asked him what is going to be his biggest challenge.
He's always been a very aggressive hitter, right? Now, that hasn't really ever significantly come back to hurt him. This is the guy who hit over 400 at Florida in his draft year. But there's long been a thought that at some point, better pitching is going to take advantage of that aggressiveness. It's never happened, right? It hasn't happened in the minors at any level. We have a story up today at baseballamerica.com, the StatCast standouts we do every week, that kind of makes a note that his chase rate in AAA is getting better and better. So maybe he's making that adjustment without ever kind of facing the bad consequences of it. But if you told me that changeups and sliders gave him some issues in the majors, wouldn't shock me at all. He will kill a fastball if you leave it anywhere over the plate. He's going to, you know, if you better be a good slider. It better be a good changeup. It's not going to be something where just any slop's going to do. But those are the challenges that I can see. Like, you can see that for almost any young hitter. I do offer kind of that, or a little bit of a reminder. If he has a great first month, that's great. If he has a terrible first month in the majors, people should go back and look what Mike Trout did the first time he came up to the majors. It's not always linear, but it is something where you want to see these developments happen pretty quickly.
I would say, at least for me, there are three things that I feel pretty confident in for him coming up. I think the power is just going to translate. It's translated at every single level. I think the power that he has and the ability to help drive in runs is something that is going to carry from Florida. It carried to his minor league career. I think he's going to have some success here and provide the protection that I think the Royals were looking for. I don't know where they're going to hit him tomorrow. If I had to guess, I think he'll hit fifth or sixth. That's just a feeling, a hunch I have. Nobody told me where they think he's going to hit. That's just my guess. I think that Jack Caglione tomorrow is going to play in right field, and I think he's going to either hit fifth or sixth for the Royals. I think he has a power that is going to translate and is going to be a plus for this team, certainly more than what they have right now. Their number one outfielder in home runs has three. They've been playing baseball since the middle of the NCAA tournament. He has three home runs. So I think the power is already an upgrade. The second thing I feel pretty confident is, I think Jack Caglione is going to strike out a bunch, like a whole lot. Now, this generation doesn't care about strikeouts in that way, but I do think he is going to strike out a bunch. I think the degree of difficulty in pitching is going to be noticeable for him early on, And it's something that he's struggled with so far early on in his career. It's something that scouts have told you he has struggled with so far. I think we will see that early on in his career. I also think that in some ways we're kind of overplaying how difficult it's going to be for him to be in right field. I think he'll be a capable right fielder. Now, are there going to be a learning curve? Of course. That's like anything that you are learning that's new. But I think the Royals are taking the gamble, and I think it's a really smart gamble, that what he provides them offensively and the bolt and juice that he is going to provide them in that is going to outweigh what you think the negatives can be for this team on defense. Their offense is flashing a red light. Their offense, it's not just a problem, it's the problem. I think more so than just pressing the panic button, this is what I think happened with the Royals. I think the Royals as an organization saw this weekend, the Tigers are not that much better than us. The Tigers are quite possibly the American League favorite to go to the World Series. The Tigers are really good. Great rotation, great bullpen, they can score. There are a lot of things to like about this Tigers team. I was out there on Friday. I watched the other two games. I don't think that the Tigers are drastically better than the Royals. And I think the Royals are simply thinking, man, if we can get 15, 20% more offense, right now the Royals are 29th in Royals in runs scored. Nobody is saying you got to get to three. Can the Royals get to 16th in runs scored? Can the Royals get to 19th in runs scored? If the Royals get to 19th in runs scored, they can make the American League Championship Series. You can't do that with the 29th ranked offense. In fact, if the Royals offense continues how it is, they're not making the playoffs. And I think the pressing the panic button with Jack Caglione is, can he be the difference in us being an 82-83 win team and being an 85-86 win team? If you win 86 games, then you will probably grab one of those wild card spots. I think the margin of error is that thin between the Royals and the other contending teams in the American League. And what's going to end up being the difference is you have by far and away the worst offense out of any of those groups. You had to do something to try and jumpstart it.
Number two.
And Carrington, I apologize. As I should have mentioned before, the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. To get away from this notion of the Royals offense, as hit number two is also Cags. Everything, every news story when it comes to Kansas City sports today is about Cags. Is this timeline one that you think the prior administration and leadership would have adhered to? Is this a move you think Dayton Moore would have made?
You know what? Let's talk about that more coming up on the other side because we don't have too much time left in this segment. I do want to play one audio cut for you guys, and I promise you we'll get back to that topic because I think it is a very, very good topic. We had J.J. Cooper on, and we asked him, what's the best-case scenario for Jack Caglione as a player? What's his player comparison? Listen to this.
So, best case, I would say he's, you know, and when I say Giancarlo Stanton, I'm sure that people are, you know, Giancarlo Stanton or Pete Alonso, you know, but again, don't think of Stanton right now. Think of Stanton as peak, kind of that home run champ type guy.
Giancarlo Stanton from ages 20 to 27. So this is his time in Florida for the Marlins. A season average for him, a season average was 33 home runs and 84 RBIs, hitting 270 and averaging somewhere between 25 to 30 doubles a year. If you were telling me that that's what the Royals believe that he can turn into, to being that kind of offensive player, and that's the kind of protection that we are talking about, putting around Bobby Witt Jr. And if you can get Vinny Pasquantino back going to where he was before the hand injury, and you can get the Vinny Pasquantino back from June and July of last year, you have created an incredible foundation of 2-3-4 for your offense for years to come that you can match up against just about anybody in the American League if that's the foundation that you are going to set. We're not even mentioning Mikel Garcia, who's performed very, very well. And obviously, your complement of role players. We'll see if the Royals go out there and add to this team at all. But if you were talking about that's one of the players that he could be, a Giancarlo Stanton, a Pete Alonso type, the Royals have added a potential all-star to their team today, and that obviously can't be overlooked. Let's get to your question coming up on the other side, because I do look at this regime as a very forward thinking when it comes to this topic. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here, Sir Drive. All right, I want to play for you guys something from the boss man, Steven Spector. On a day like this, you know Speck is itching to get a sports take off. And you know what I said? Go record it. Come back. I'll play it. We'll talk about it. I think it's very interesting. We also have a pretty significant update in what's going on in New Orleans. So we'll give you that update coming up in about 15 minutes or so. No one was captured over the weekend. So if you guys remember, on May 16th, there were 10 inmates that escaped from the New Orleans prison. 8 of them have been captured. 2 of them are still out on the loose. We have a significant update. One of the 2 that is still on the loose recorded a video and posted a statement. We'll play that for you. We'll talk about it coming up. This show is going to stay all over that story. Please don't think that Jack Caglione being called up is going to change the fact that we are updating you on what's happening in New Orleans until everybody is brought to justice. Let's stay focused. Let's stay on task. Here is Steven Spector. Listen to Spector's theory about the Royals.
All right, guys. I think this Jack Caglione move is significant for a number of reasons, but one that I want to point out is I think this also shows a new era of Royals baseball and a new way of thinking under J.J. Piccolo. I don't believe that Dayton Moore would ever call up Jack Caglione in June, the season after he was drafted by the club. Dayton was very much about progression, 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 and when you're ready, it's your time. And look, you could probably argue Brandon Finnegan back in 2014, but I think that was a very rare case of right place, right time. The Royals front office is not operating like that nowadays. It is a new era in Royals baseball. You have an aggressive owner. Last offseason, they said, we need pitching. They go out and get Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha. Now they say, we need an outfield bat. They go to the minors and they get Jack Caglione. The Royals are now saying that we are going to take the defensive deficiencies of a guy learning how to play outfield at the major league level and saying, we don't care. We'll take the extra base hits. We'll take the home runs. We'll take the RBIs. That is something the Royals never would have shifted on, base running and defense. Now they are, and a little bit of that is obviously because of the offensive struggles that the team has had through 60 games, but a lot of that is really a shift in philosophy about this new front office. When the Royals identify an issue very similar to the Chiefs, they go out and fix that issue, and they're not really waiting around for someone else to make the first move. The Royals have been very aggressive under J.J. Piccolo from Cole Reagan's trade, now calling up Jack Caglione about 11 months after he was drafted out of the University of Florida.
So that was Steven Spector. That's his take on this conversation. I disagree with Spec from these two places. Number one, I think we are in a new era in baseball, period. I think at the very beginning of the season, I had an antiquated view of how prospects work in Major League Baseball. Guys are just getting called up sooner. Guys at this level. We're not talking about a fourth or a fifth round pick. We're talking about guys who have played high-end travel ball for multiple years, who decide to go to college and play 3 years of high-level baseball. Those guys are coming into the minors better prepared than any other baseball generation. It doesn't take you 5 years to get to the major leagues if you're a prospect of this caliber. I'm not even saying that makes him a prodigy. We're not talking about Ken Griffey back in the day that it blew your mind that he made it to the majors so quickly. These kind of players are just getting to the majors sooner than everybody else. So I don't know if we can definitively say that. I think the Royals have an ability to sign Jack Caglione, so it doesn't matter when you bring him up or not. Living in a post-Bobby Witt Jr. world, I think, has to just change your mindset on the ownership group that they have. I don't think that's the owner that Dayton Moore had. When the Royals called up Eric Hosmer, we all knew that there was a countdown. We all knew this is when Eric Hosmer's contract is due. He will not be on the Royals. You felt that same way about Moose. You felt that same way about that core. You knew that there was a pretty defined expiration date. Living in a post-Bobby Witt Jr. world, I'm not really sure how you can say that about this team. if Jack Caglione gets off to a great start, let's say that Jack Caglione, his first 50 games is phenomenal, the Royals have a chance to sign that player. The Royals could end up doing what Tampa Bay did with Evan Longoria and locking him up long-term and just giving him that financial security. I think the game has just changed. So I think in some ways, Dayton was just kind of binded by the ownership group that he had and had to change their thinking in a lot of ways. I think that JJ just walks into a much different, progressive, forward-thinking ownership group than the one that Dayton had to deal with in the very, very beginning. I also don't know if Dayton ever had a prospect like this. That's not what Eric Hosmer was. That's not what Mike Moustakas was. Who's the best prospect that Dayton Moore had? I'm talking about minor league player, moved through the system. It was obvious in the first 30, 35 games or so, oh, that guy is a major league baseball player. I don't know if they've had a whole lot of those players in their organization. So I don't know if we can say that about Dayton, because I don't think he ever was faced with this decision that we clearly see that JJ Piccolo had. I'm sitting here pulling up right now with Eric Hosmer. I mean, Eric Hosmer played 274 games down in the minors. Now, he also has a different scenario. He didn't go to college, so his college was minor league baseball. He went to Idaho Falls at 18 years old and got up to the Royals at 21 years old. So the time while Jack Caglione is playing for the Florida Gators, Eric Hosmer was playing for the Burlington Bees during that point. So I just think it's a little bit unfair to kind of look at those two and kind of compare their journey and their path, just because I think Cags in a lot of ways is just further ahead and just more developed and more ready at this level than I think that we saw. I don't think that Dayton ever had a prospect from a power standpoint that people are able to say this about. Here's J.J. Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is Bo Jackson type of raw power. That's what we're talking about. I struggle. Jorge Soler, I guess, you know, he was a Royal for a while. He has someone who had that kind of raw power, but there aren't many. There are not many.
Did you hear the name that he just said? He said Bo Jackson raw power. I want to give you guys just a real quick kind of update on who J.J. Cooper is. He's been covering minor league baseball since 1995. He's been the managing editor at Baseball America since 2002. If there has been a minor league prospect in the last 25 years, he's seen him. He compared his raw power to Bo Jackson. Dayton Moore never had a prospect like that. He never had one like that. He never had a player who fast-tracked his way this quickly and was ready to help at this stage in his career. The Royals haven't had many days like they're potentially going to have next Tuesday. I would argue that the Royals have had three of these days in the last 25 years. I think the call-up of Zach Greinke, the call-up of Eric Hosmer, and Jack Caglione, they've had three in the last 25 years. Bobby's day is just very different. It was opening day. Bobby would have had this day. If Bobby had joined the team on May 9th, I think he would have had Bobby Witt Jr. Day at the K. The fact that it happened on opening day, so maybe they've had four. You just don't get many of these prospects in your organization that often.
But even with the opening day buzz, Bobby Witt's debut, there was under 30,000 people there. It was snowing. It was cold. We were right out of COVID. We were right out of the lockout. That buzz just wasn't there, even with opening day for his debut. I'm with you that he would have had it in different circumstances. Man, I was there for Hosmer's debut. I was there for Greinke's return. Those were special days. Those teams were never taken seriously by anyone outside of Kansas City. So the team itself is going to provide a level of excitement that we've never had for one of these big call-ups, and they're going to do it against the Yankees, who eliminated you last year. Against Aaron Judge, who might be the best hitter in baseball, against Jazz Chisholm, who's going to get booed again at Kauffman Stadium on an 80-degree night. Are you kidding me? It's going to be electric.
Text line 913-586-7965. What about Alex Gordon? I would put him kind of in that same conversation. You got to remember, Gordon's debut was also opening day. Gordon's debut and Bobby Witt Jr.'s debut, I think, just changed it because of the win that it happened. I'm not saying that Gordon's opening day wouldn't have been a big deal. I think it would have been a big deal. I just think if you wrap it up in opening day, it changes the calculus on this. Like, if Jack Caglione got called up next opening day. Of course it's going to be big. It's the first game of the season. This game feels big, and it's June 10th. It's June 10th. It's a Tuesday. When's the last time you've been really excited to go out to Kauffman Stadium on a Tuesday? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there have not been many prospects that you think on a Tuesday that they would have got 30,000 people out to Kauffman Stadium for. They are having one of those kind of days coming up. Gordon's day was going to be big. Bobby Wood Jr.'s day was going to be. The people were coming regardless if they were coming up or not. That's why I think their debuts is just a little bit different than what I think we have with Jack Caglione. Coming up on the other side, we'll keep talking about this. We also have an update in New Orleans. We'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. All right, we don't have a lot of time before we have to get off the air today. I'm going to be real with you guys. I don't really know what I'm going to do later today. There's no Royals. There's no NBA on tonight. I don't have any plans. I'm still waiting on Sinners to hit DVD. I didn't get a chance to see it in the theaters. I'm waiting on a lot of things, actually. I don't have any plans today. Just sitting at home, finishing House of Cards. I really don't want to finish watching the show. I'm mentally checked out. I hate the show now. I really don't enjoy the show anymore. It's got very, very stupid at the end. But you know what? I've come this far. You guys don't care about that, but I had to tell you anyway. What you do care about, we'll get you out of here with these two things. Number one, this show is still committed to covering the issue in New Orleans. Yes, I'm excited about Jack Caglione. We plan on covering it. Rob will be back. We're working on big things. We're still covering what's happening in New Orleans. 10 inmates escaped. 8 have been captured. There are 2 that are still on the loose. One of them made a Instagram video just earlier today proclaiming his innocence. Listen to this.
Doing the thing. My name is Antoine Massey. I'm one of the ones that was let out of Orleans Parish Jail when they said I escaped, right? I learned that they locked the woman up for saying that she was supposed to be helping me.
I mean, you escaped. I don't know how we can debate the fact that you escaped. You're supposed to still be there. You are not there. That, by definition, is you escaped. You could always just go back. Just, hey, you know what? This was a big misunderstanding. You could just give yourself up. But at this point, I mean, you might as well keep it going for as long as you can. I don't think I would be recording videos right now. So we didn't play too much of it. He actually says that he has evidence that will show that he is innocent. I don't know how you plan on getting it to him and also remaining free. But I would try to figure that out because they're looking for you. And they've been looking for you for quite some time. You're recording videos and then emailing it to them. I mean, just you can't see all the things that can go wrong with this plan. You use the internet, right? I'm assuming this wasn't some dark web encrypted. I mean, you had to get this to the police. You had to get it on the internet in some capacity. This just doesn't sound like a very smart thing to do. It seems to me like you are now looking to get recaptured. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
You know what always fixes things for those in the public image, Carrington, and that's going on Instagram Live. I don't get the train of thought there. If you think you were let out and then you hear there's a nationwide search for you, maybe you'd show back up and be like, hey, there seems like we didn't see eye to eye on this. Let's get this straightened out. I wouldn't continue to hide out. I also, we couldn't play too much more of that because he goes into this girl's name and like what she's charged with.
Too much.
So, yeah. Didn't need to do all of that. But he pretty much says they're telling the media that she's locked up for helping him. But in reality, she's locked up on other charges. So they're not only lying on him, they're lying on her. So
media is always lying. I've learned.
It's a big cover up, apparently.
No, for sure. Someone says, CDOT, you could watch college baseball. I don't mind watching college baseball. I'm just not setting out for that to be my number one activity for the evening. I don't mind having college baseball on in the back and I'm doing some other things. Yeah, I'm listening to music. I'm cleaning up. I'm doing some other stuff. But I'm definitely not going home with the intention of watching college baseball. No chance. Not at all. I can't do it. If you guys can do it, great. But there's no MU. There's no KU. There's no K-State. I'm just watching two random college baseball teams. I ain't in it. Y'all got it. I don't got it. I absolutely do not have it. One thing that I did really enjoy this weekend that was circulating social media is a lot of people were sending in what their favorite inside the NBA memories are. This one's very high up for me.
Disappointing Orleans. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. We're not even gonna sit in the Cancun. We're gonna sit in the Galveston with that dirty ass water be washed up on the shore. You people think they're in the beach. Y'all okay? Y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all ass. Y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
That was Charles Barkley. This might actually be the most iconic moment from Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA.
Shaq wanted me to talk about all them big old women in San Antonio. Oh, they got some big ones down there. Eat them churros like this. I'm telling you. They be eating them churros. I mean,
what
they be doing with the churros, Chuck?
I remember when they tried to get Charles to apologize to the women in San Antonio. He was like, y'all know I'm just being funny, but y'all got some big eyes. It was Charles Barkley. It's what it was. I certainly hope that the show stays the same as the show moves from TNT to ESPN. I certainly hope that it keeps the comedic aspect that so much of us have come to know and love over the years watching Inside the NBA.
I got two words for you. Steve Nash and Chris Paul, must-see TV.
That's more than two words.
You didn't say two words. You said quick to the point.
You just said I got two words. Steve Nash and Chris Paul, must-see TV.
That's why I messed up, because I was trying to think of two words. I could have said that. Okay.
Two words.
Nash and Paul.
That's three words.
That's three words.
I love Inside the NBA. It's just a show that just, it warms my heart. It really does.
Just the back and forth is so good. Like Nash and Paul, we know what he means, but yeah. they can bust him just because he's Chuck. You know, it's a good. We didn't even play the one about. I think he's talking about a power forward banging down on the post and talks about when guys are banging you and he can't even get a sentence out.
I mean, we could do the whole show of just playing funny memories that they've had. There have just been so many. I would, before we get out of here, and I know we're up against it, Nathan, I would like to thank myself for beating you in Wii Bowling earlier today. I recently bought a Wii for the office so we could play Wii Bowling. Nathan, he smoked me in college football the last time he was here, so I said, you know what, I'm challenging you to something. And they really call me Pete Weber. I think I might be Pete Weber of the digital lanes. I think I might be.
Yeah, that's right. You got me. It came down to the 10th frame, but yeah, I'm not going to lie. You got me. Hey, guess what? Rob's taking more time off later this month, so I'm sure we'll find some.
Oh, I thought you were going to say tomorrow.
Some
like,
competition
damn,
to break the tie here, but you got me.
No, I'm taking time off this month too. You know, now's the time. It's the summer. It's time to look outside. I mean, come on. I'm going to be in here every day. Look outside. It's beautiful outside today. I'll be back tomorrow as we'll get you ready for Jack Caglione's Major League debut. Keep it right here. It's 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, that's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.